So when we pray, we believe that God hears us and that he will reward us, amen, if we seek him diligently. And so I want to encourage you to come out, join with us if you can. Friday nights are great. And you know, God has really been stirring up our hearts again for just awakening, a revival in the heart of God's people. How many know that? We have to come back to the fountain, amen? We have to come back to the water. We can't just, you know, live on last Sunday's sermon, amen? But we need to live daily by the Word of God and by the Spirit of the Lord. So that's a daily thing, isn't it? And God wants his people revived. To revive means to return to life again. Amen? Hallelujah. How many know sometimes we need to return to life again? And to return to life is not to return to some meeting that they call revival, but returning to life is returning to Jesus, who is life. Amen? He's the one that quickens. He's the one that empowers and enables us. And so God wants his people to live a life of revival. Amen? That we're a people that live in life, abide in life. As we abide in him, we abide in life. So we don't want to be event people. Oh, we're going to have a revival this coming week. So everybody comes with an expectation of, well, we're going to be revived because we're having a revival this week. How many know that you don't have to wait for a meeting to have revival? Revival, amen. Revival comes from who? Amen. From the Lord, right? It doesn't come from a man or a woman. It comes from Jesus. Now, Jesus may use a man or a woman, amen, as a vessel, but it's ultimately the power is from who? From Jesus. He's the one that we need to be seeking. He's the one that we need to be trusting. And each one of us have been given the privilege to partner with Jesus, to join him in his mission, to be a part of what he's doing. How do you mean to know that if you're in Christ Jesus today, if you're born again today, that you're also a minister? Now, a lot of people thought, oh, the minister is the guy that wears that funny collar and stands up every Sunday and preaches. But how many know that if you're in Christ, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you have the minister in you. And we need to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit within us and be ministers for him. Amen. Now, we can't do what God calls us to do except by his Spirit, by the ability that he supplies. Amen? So God wants us to learn how to lean on him daily for the supply of grace to flow in and out of our lives, and we can be a well-watered garden, blooming, bearing fruit. Amen? It doesn't matter how young or how old. There's no junior Holy Spirit either, right? God wants our children to be alive in him. He wants the children to serve him. They can reach out to their families. They can reach out to their friends. They can be dispatched into their schools, amen, as evangelists, as fire starters. If you've got the fire in you, amen, then you can fire up somebody else. You can't light up the world if you ain't lit. So we got to be lit in order to help somebody else out, because it's not of us. It's not how elegant we speak. It's not how fancy we can sing or play an instrument. Amen? The substance is Christ. He's the source. He's the center of it all. And he has to remain the main attraction. Amen? When we come here, it's got to be Jesus who we pursue. Amen? We're not here to be entertained. And if we do any entertaining, we want to entertain the King. Amen? If he gives us abilities and talents, it came from him in the first place. So we want to entertain the King. Hallelujah. How many know that everything that we have came from him anyways? The Lord's not up there saying, wow, what an amazing ability to play guitar. I bet you when we get to heaven, there's going to be some phenomenal going on up there. Amen. Some music going on up there. Hallelujah. But you know, if we get in the Spirit with God, if we get into that place with him and we go get in the flow, as we call it, then the praise is glorious. Why is the praise glorious? Because it's the Lord who is expressed through song, even through instruments Amen. We can express the Lord's heart through instrumentation even. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? How many ever, you know, I know some people have a problem with this, but even puppets, you know, if there's a heart behind that, even a little puppet can be an expression, amen, of God's heart through the person manipulating it and by whatever word they're bringing forth, if they're doing it by the Holy Spirit. God uses different methods. The message never changes. You've heard it said. But God does use different methods to express His heart. We are multifaceted here. We have been gifted differently, designed differently by God to be an expression of His heart in this world. And together we make up a whole. The hand, the foot, the fingers, the toes, everything. They're all working together. Amen. To express the will, the desire of the head. Amen, Jesus, our Lord. So we get to do this. We get to be a part of this. And God wants His people to be revived. I want to start from 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14. Most of you are very familiar with, especially verse 14. As really a basis for this message today. And I entitled it, Coming Alive Again. And this has really been the theme of my heart since I was born again. Is not only do I want to stay alive and stay revived, but I want to see other people alive and revived. Amen. Because that's the heart of Jesus. He wants His people to be living in the abundant life that He promised us. And sometimes, unfortunately, based upon your testimony, I think the abundant life that most people are expecting is just having stuff and toys. The abundant life is the life of Christ in us. Hallelujah. He's the hope of glory. When I shut up heaven, verse 13, and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Who was the one who would shut up the heavens? Who would command the locusts to devour the land? The Lord, He said. Even pestilence. But He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Why is there pestilence? Why is there a curse? Why is there destruction? Why is the land revolting, if you will? It's because of the sins of the people who live there. Do you understand? We see in the natural, and it really an expression of what's going on in the supernatural or in the spiritual. Famine, amen, is not a good thing, would you agree? But you know, sometimes it takes famine to wake people up. Sometimes it takes a difficulty in life, amen, to wake people up, to get our attention. So what? We can return to the Lord and we can escape the destruction that the enemy is bringing on. Amen. God doesn't want, amen, His people destroyed. He doesn't want us idolatrous. He doesn't want us worshiping the things of this world because He knows it leads to destruction. So He said, if these things happen, if we look at our nation today and the things that are happening and the craziness that we see that's happening, even in the political arena today, we have to know that it's because of fallen man. It's because the heart of man is wicked, amen, and far from God. And how many know that it's not the people who do not know God who He's calling on to make a difference? He's calling on His people, the ones who are called by His name. And Israel of old, amen, were the people separated by God to represent Him to the heathen nations. Today, you and I are the church, the called out ones that are to represent God's heart, amen, to those around us who do not know the Lord. And so the Lord is calling His church to repentance. Judgment must begin the house of God. With the church. So God wants His people to wake up, to realize what's happening, to realize that our nation is crumbling, that these things that are happening to our nation and in our nation are a result of sin. And the solution, of course, is that God would sovereignly intervene once again in our land. And that will not happen until, hello, the people that are called by His name, the church, will do what? Humble themselves and pray. And seek His face. Come on, we're good at seeking His hand for the handouts, for the give me this and give me that. But to seek the face of God means to seek a relationship with Him. To walk close to Him. It's to get into the face of God where He's breathing upon your life. Hallelujah. How many know that the breath of God is what revives us? Hallelujah. Breathe on us, breath of God. And if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek His face, and then what, the church, turn away from the ways of this world and start to walk once again in the ways of the Lord. Hallelujah. Then the Lord said, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin on behalf of the people of God who are praying. On behalf of those who are seeking the face of God. He says, I will turn this around and I will send healing to the land. We cannot wait for those people up there to change. Amen? We have to change. We have to get into alignment with what God is telling us to do. And God is calling us to pray, to seek His face, to call in the rain of heaven. We've been given that authorization. How many know that America is not beyond hope? America can be saved. America can be healed. America can be restored. Our nation can be great again. Amen. But it's not going to be Donald Trump doing it. We pray for our president. Amen. That God will use him, but it's going to be the Lord who makes America great again. And it's going to be the Lord who drains the swamp. And it has to begin in us. God has to drain the swamp in us. Did I make anybody upset this morning yet? Give me a few minutes, I'm working on it, all right? So, what I want to say is this. God is with us, God is for us, but God has given us a responsibility to represent Him as His people, to be salt, to be light, to be influence wherever we live, in our families, in our homes, amen? In our neighborhoods, in the store, in our churches. In the schools, we're supposed to be salt and light in the workplace, right? Yeah. Wherever we find ourselves, we are to be influencers. We are not to be influencees, if that's a word, but we're to be influencers. Yeah. We are to, amen, turn things around. We have been given the ability by God and the authorization by God, amen, to call the kingdom reign of God in to any situation. Wherever you go, you carry the glory of God, amen. The light of God is in you, and so you can light up the night. And you know, folks, it doesn't take a lot of light to make a difference. You can take a lighter in a dark room, just a lighter, and that little lighter will, well, it'll light up a lot, won't it? But the brighter the light, the more that gets exposed. I know I've used this illustration before, but when we lived in Georgia, you get up in the middle of the night or something to get something to eat, and you hit that light on, and it's like all the cockroaches go, get out of here, the light is on, we've been exposed. But see, that's just like the enemy, isn't it? When the light comes on, the cockroaches have to go. Hallelujah. So God wants us to be lit up, and that means that we need to have an abundant supply of oil. Amen. And in order for us to be vessels that God can use, we have to first make sure that we get the garbage out, that we confess, amen, our sins, and turn from those things that God says no to, and start saying yes to the things that God says yes to. And you know, if we would spend our time focusing on Jesus and what He wants us to do, you've heard it said, we won't have time for all the other stupid stuff. Just abide in Him. Just walk with Him when you're in a relationship, amen? Husbands, if you're walking with your wife down the sidewalk, amen? and some woman comes walking by, you know what? Out of respect for your wife, you don't take a second look. Amen? You don't take a first look. I feel for you, brother. Hey, listen. The first look isn't a sin. Right? First look is like, wow. And then the second one's like, wait a minute. Just keeping it real here. God made us attractive, didn't he? At least some of us. I don't know. Every morning I look at that face, I'm saying, man, God has a sense of humor, right? But we honor and we respect our mate, amen, by having eyes for only them and not eyes for others. God wants us to be so focused and so centered in him, amen, that we don't have room for any of these other lesser things to come in and choke out the life of God within us. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So God wants us to fill up on him. Now remember, the lamp of God under the old covenant and in the priesthood, they were responsible for maintaining the supply of oil. Amen. The oil was not to run out, and the flame was not to be extinguished within the holy place, not the holy of holies, but the holy place. Amen. And that represents, I believe, the mind illuminated by the Spirit. Amen. And so our responsibility as New Testament believers, as a royal priesthood, is to continually what? Be filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit so that we are a bright light. Because when our light is on, we're going to light up others around us. When our light is on, the demons will tremble. They will flee. Amen. How many know that you should be getting a reaction from people that are demon possessed? If you're walking in Christ the way we should, if we're full of the Holy Spirit, you're going to make the devil and other people very uncomfortable. Come on. You have to get the mirror out and see if there's something hanging out of my nose. Why do they don't like me for it? We get self-conscious. Why aren't those people liking me? And get over yourself. You can't be everybody's friend. What you want to be is a friend with Jesus. Amen. And understand this, that if you are lit up for Jesus, wherever the light is, there's going to be a manifestation, amen, of the Lord's presence. And that will rub the enemy the wrong way. Come on. How many know what I'm talking about? There's just certain people that you run into and they don't know you from anybody and they hate you. They just don't like you. I don't know if it's the way I look. I'm hoping it's Jesus in me. Amen. Jesus said they'll hate you just like they did me. No, we want to be everybody's friend. No, if you're living a godly life in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. People will not like you. People that God is calling out will. Do you understand that Jesus didn't have mediocre friends? They either loved him or they what? They hated him. Isn't that the way it is? If a person is if they're a strong person, you usually don't have lukewarm friends. You have either people that like you or don't like you, period. Isn't that right? And that's the way it was with Jesus. He's saying, listen, there's people that flocked to Jesus, you know, when he was giving out the free stuff. They were getting the free lunch. Everything's going my way. But then when Jesus began to talk about the cost of following him, of a denial of yourself, to take your cross and to follow him, oh, I don't know about that. How many know that the thing that you think you want to hang on to is the thing that is holding you back? The thing that you think you want to hold on to is the thing that you really don't want. If God is saying, stop it, believe me, he loves you enough to tell you the truth, and it's a good idea to listen to him. If he says, don't go there, don't look there, don't listen there, amen, listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. He is trying to protect you. Amen, brother, just like that brother who he had no idea what was waiting for him up ahead. But you know what? At any time, God could have prevented that from happening. But how many know that you're exactly right? Our faith will be tested. It will be tested as to what quality it really is, if it's really authentic or genuine faith at all. How many know you got to be born again? You must have the Spirit of Christ in you. Hallelujah. It's possible, even as Judas, for people to function in the anointing and yet not be right with God. Here's a man that was moving in the gifts of the Spirit, amen, functioning in the anointing and yet stealing at the same time. It should be a wake-up call for us, shouldn't it? Check yourself out. Examine yourself whether you're in the faith or not. And don't assume that because God uses you that that means that everything is okay. I want to make sure that my heart is right with God. And only the Holy Spirit can make that clear to us. A lot of times, we can just kind of convince ourselves that we're okay. And sometimes we do that by comparing ourselves to others. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. You spend time with Jesus, you'll start looking like him. You start acting like him. You'll express his heart in this world. Hallelujah. How come they knew the disciples were following? They took notice of the disciples because they'd been with what? With Jesus, right? They didn't take note of them because they had these credentials, right? Or they had some kind of degree in theology. They took note of the disciples because they had been with Jesus. How many know that's the credential that you need? You need to abide in him. Amen. Everything comes from him, flows out of him. Hallelujah. Exodus 27:20, and you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually. How many know that this requires discipline on our part? How many know that the enemy is trying to wear you down and to distract you away from God, amen, from your relationship with the Lord in the Spirit and in his Word? Why? Because he knows that if your light gets dim, your eyes begin to get dim. If you quit keeping a supply of oil while your lamp begins to go out, and where there's no light, there's what? Darkness. And when we are in darkness, we cannot see the way to go. And we're flailing around in the night trying to figure it out on our own. God says you need to stay close. You need to yoke, join, connect with me in the Spirit. I am your provider. I am your supplier, amen, of the Spirit. And if we abide in the Lord, we will have our lights, amen, on the candlestand for all to see. Because what is an interesting thing that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's a liberty, and there's a liberty from fear of man. Isn't that true? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be baptized, immersed in. And there's a confidence that comes when the Spirit of the Lord is in you. Amen. And he lifts you up above the fear. Hallelujah. And you can be bold as a lion. The righteous are as what? Bold as a lion. Who are the righteous? Those who abide in the righteous one. He is our righteousness. When you got the armor of God on, you are confident in your God. Spiritual awakening is a work of God. It's not from the preacher, is it? And listen, spiritually dormant Christians cannot resuscitate themselves. You need God to do that. You know what? I believe I'm my brother's keeper. So I want to be responsible to make sure, you know, that I'm not only taking care of my personal needs as far as my spiritual needs go. Amen. But I also want to make sure that if I see a brother or sister that's struggling, yeah. Amen, yeah. Or going through a weak time in their life, that I stand in the gap for them. That I pray, Lord, not only for me, but pray for my brother and pray for my sister. Guys, we pray for you. We pray for you daily. I see your faces. God brings you before me, and I pray. I'm not saying that to, I'm just saying because the heart of Jesus is in me. Amen. And he is not willing that anyone should perish, but he also wants to know that his people are healthy, that they're vibrant, that they're strong, that they're awakened in their spirit, so that they can be a light in the darkness, and so that we will not dishonor the Lord in any way, but instead we'll bring glory to the Lord by the way that we live our lives. Not because we're just so good and so nice, but because of Jesus. Amen? We're a good influence. We're an influence. And we will be good because He is our goodness. The desire itself for revival comes from God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many know what I'm talking about? When you get into a place, you say, man, I'm feeling a little bit thin. Spiritually, right? I'm feeling a little bit kind of dry spiritually. And what happens is you start to desire, hunger. God, I need you. I need you to fill me. I need you to saturate me again with your presence. And how many know that often God's going to call you and assign you to join to his body, amen, for the ministry of the body to touch your life? There's times, guys, that you're going to be dry until you get to fellowship meeting and you start connecting with God's people. And all of a sudden there is an impartation of life that comes through the body of Christ. Because whenever two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst. And the Lord is pleased when his people gather together in his name. Amen. God didn't call us to be lone rangers. Amen. But to connect to the body of Christ and be a blessing to my brothers and sisters. So when we come together, it's not just for me, but it's for me to be a blessing to someone else. God gives you a word, gives you a psalm, right? Gives you something that you can encourage, maybe a prophetic word that will be for the purpose of edifying and building. How many times have we come in here? How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you come in here, you feel just maybe kind of thin, you beat down a little bit, and there's this little debate going on in your mind saying, I don't know if I really want to go into church today because I'm just not really feeling it. I don't look so sanctified. But sometimes we're not feeling it. Uh-oh, watch out for that feeling it thing. But God wants us to gather. So whenever we're gathering, as much as possible, it says, especially as you see the day of the Lord approaching, we should be what? In fellowship, Hebrews 10, right? So for what reason? So that we can mutually edify and build up and supply, amen, what is lacking in the others. That's why I like our discipleship class, because we really have a lot of cross-pollination going on there. You know, we're just kind of sharing in the life of Jesus together and giving people opportunity and they can share. And it's good because a lot of times, you know, we need the perspective of somebody else. We all, you know, we have this figured out in our own minds, right? We think, I've got this thing nailed, right? Uh-huh. But God actually wants to minister to every one of us, amen, through the body. I'm blessed by being with you. Does that sound like flattery? Yeah. I'm blessed by being with you today. Your presence blesses me. Why? Because you carry the presence of the Lord. And God assigns angels to you. So when you come, you're bringing your anointing and you're bringing your angels with you. It's like, hey, this is good. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And when we come together to gather in His name, He's the focus. He's the main event. Hallelujah. So the Lord said to Laodicea, how many remember this? You probably got it memorized. But He said to the lukewarm church, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. So God loves us enough to allow things in our lives at time to get our attention in hopes that it will bring us back to Him again. So that it will bring us back out of death into life. Return, revive, life. If you read the book of Acts, there were several times there where it's recorded that where they prayed, the place was shaken. Amen. Not just in chapter 2, but chapter 10 and other places where they were shaken. Amen. By the Spirit of God and filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's not a one-time deal. When it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, it actually means be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And where do we get that? We get that type in the Old Testament, amen, where the priesthood was to keep that supply of oil continually, amen, to the lamp, so that the light would continue to burn bright. So remember that. And we are here to light one another up. You have a light, amen? I mean, light a birthday candle before, birthday cake, right? And when you get to a certain point, you only get the one candle with a 23 or whatever it is on there, right? But you take when you're little, it's like all the candles, the more candles, it's like, hey, man, I'm getting older. Yeah, I'm growing up, right? But you take one candle and you light it, usually, and then you drip wax all over the cake, right, as you light the others. But you light the other candles. So that's what we're called to do. We are to light one another up. But listen, if people are not personally maintaining the flame, and if you get a bunch of folks, come on, that are not walking in that place with God where they need to be in revival, right, and an awakening, then man, you got a dead duck, church. Amen? You don't want that. You want to be in a place, amen, where people are alive. On fire. God wants to light us up. And He wants not just us to come and glean from somebody else's light, but He wants us to learn how to go to the source ourselves, amen, be filled ourselves, and then when we come, we have something to give. You see, some people, they just come and they live off everybody else's anointing. You even got people that run around from meeting to meeting, you know what I'm talking about, looking for something. You know, just lay hands on me and make me, you know. And, you know, I believe in impartation and I believe in doing that. But how many know that it's not enough for you just to go around, amen, and having other people lay hands on you? God wants you to know how to come to Him yourself, have a personal relationship with Him, a personal prayer life, amen, being filled with the Spirit of God and walking as a light in the darkness. And if we do that corporately, when we come together, it's awesome. How many know this morning, amen, and the life that we have is because there are quite a few of us here that are already lit up. We didn't come here to get lit. We got lit before we came. But the Lord said, I stand at the door and knock. He does that, doesn't he? Remember this, guys. He wasn't knocking on the heathen's heart. He was knocking on the door of a church, his body, his people. He's saying, are you still hearing my voice? If you can still hear my voice, open the door and I will come in. How many know it's a good thing to open your heart to God? People can come to church. It grieves me because I know it grieves God. But man, the Lord is like pouring out His Spirit. The mercy of God is just raining down. And sometimes people are just like, shut off. Man, we'll be getting in here. Right? They're not aware of how good God is. But you got to trust God. You got to know that He's good. Amen? And if you ask God for an egg, you get an egg. Amen? So you open your heart and you trust the Lord and you let Him fill your life. Hallelujah. And we don't come in here, amen, to judge other people that are getting blessed. It's like, man, why am I sitting here? They're having a banquet up there and I'm sitting over here eating chips. Time to get into the deep end. Amen? That's why we say, don't splash around in the kiddie pool in church. Amen? How about it? I'm talking about go for it. Dive in. Amen. To the place where now God is the wind beneath your sails. And now you're not just kind of sampling God. You're like, you're moving with God. Because your life is filled, saturated with the Spirit of God. This is the theme of Scripture. God wants His priesthood, His royal priesthood, His church to be filled with the Holy Spirit continuously, keeping that oil supply. Amen. If you have to cut things out of your life, amen, so you can be abiding in that place with Him, then do it because it's worth it. We only got a short season, a short time. Now, I want to say this also. You cannot have an awakening without repentance. See, you got people running around, just lay hands on me, I'm going to get revived. Well, God's saying, you got to get rid of that junk, because I'm not going to cohabitate with junk. God, you've heard it said, God will not bless a mess. God bless me. Well, let's get the mess cleaned up first. How do I do that? By getting honest about where I'm really at. See, some people are good at pretending. And every time they hear a message, it's not, I'm glad Joe's here to hear that. There's no Joe's here, is there? When we hear a message, we say, Lord, what are you saying to me? Does this apply to me? Where do I need to change? Where do I need to repent? Repent means to change your mind. Change direction. Amen? Get in agreement with what God wants. Find out what pleases the Lord. Do those things that please Him. Yes. Do those things that please Him. It's okay. We're supposed to be doers of the Word. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm here cooperating with the Holy Spirit is what I'm talking about. And when we're in agreement with what God wants, then we'll be in a position for God to fill us, because in the areas where we are rebelling against what God is telling us to do, and we know it, but we're saying, we're digging in our heels and saying, no, I'm not going to do this. You don't know how they treated me. You don't know what they did to me. You dig your heels in. God says, well, I'm not going to bless the mess. I'm going to wait for you to come to the end of yourself, come to the place where you are truly broken and repentant. If it means I have to take you all the way down, I'm going to do that so I can take you up. But God wants to bless His people. He wants to fill our lives with His Spirit. But we have to be in cooperation. We've got to stop the sinning. Amen? Not focusing on sin. I'm just saying, if God is saying stop, it's time to stop. And turn your eyes on Jesus, because when you look to Him, your face will be radiant. How many know that no flesh can glory in His presence? So that's why prayer is so important, because what prayer does is it gets us out of ourself, out of our flesh. Hallelujah. If I come before the Lord and something's not right, I know it. And the more that you walk with the Lord and the closer you are with Him, the more sensitive you become to His Spirit. And the things that maybe at one time didn't bother you, those things now, you're very sensitive. When the Spirit of God is grieved in you, you know it. And you don't want to do anything to grieve the Spirit. Why? Because you want to be in harmony with the Lord. Because you want to be a vessel that the Lord can use. A man that can fill with His presence and use us. So do yourself a favor. Start cooperating with the Holy Spirit if you're not already. Start saying yes to His voice and no to yourself. And you'll find yourself coming alive in Him. Why? Because if you're willing to renounce those hidden things of darkness, you're willing to turn away from those things, then God will cleanse you from those things. He will pull those things out of you, and He will replace those things with His Holy Spirit. And the more of Him that you have, the brighter your light will shine. And the brighter your light shines, the greater, amen, radiance of Christ will be emitted from your life, and the greater effectiveness, the greater fruitfulness you'll bear in your life. And the Father will be glorified, because He's got a people who are repentant, a people that are now in harmony with Him. Oh, hallelujah. It's so good to be in harmony with God, isn't it? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've done that. You've taken those detours and you just got really miserable real fast. But that's God's mercy. That's God saying, you're a son, you're a daughter. As many as I love, I do what? I rebuke. Do the first works. You talk to Ephesus, another one here. Sometimes we're not even aware of how far we've drifted. You know, if we know each other, if we were in relationship with it, and maybe it's even within your own family context, when you know your brother and your sister, and you know when they're lit up for Jesus, you know when they're in life. Amen? And I don't know if you observe this in me. If you do, let me know. Amen? Because I want to get it right. But sometimes, you know, we just sort of say, oh, Joe, we'll pick on Joe again. You know, Joe has just kind of been out of sorts lately. Maybe Joe's just going through a struggle. Well, let me pray for Joe. You know, let me hold up Joe before the throne of grace. Amen? Let's not compare ourselves to Joe and think, oh, God, I'm not like Joe. But I want to pray for my brother. Amen? And to encourage him. And it may be that, you know, the Lord is just revealing something about Joe, that maybe Joe has allowed something in his life that has been choking out the life of God in him. It's been snuffing out the light within him. And the darkness is starting to encroach upon that. And Joe has been so distracted that he's no longer seeking the Lord like he used to. He's no longer in the Word. He's no longer in prayer like he used to. And so that supply of oil is running very thin. And that light is getting very dim. And Joe is just thinking that Joe is just fine. Sometimes we're not aware of where we're at spiritually, but others will see it. The Lord is the one who is the proper judge of our hearts. Amen? So the Lord here speaks to this church, to Ephesus. He says, remember where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So a lot of times, guys, we're not aware of the fact that we're drifting. That's why we need to be in fellowship. That's why we need to be sitting under teaching and preaching and hearing the Word and being sharpened and being reminded. Looking in the Word of God is like looking in a mirror and saying, oh, yes, that's right. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that reminder. Oh, Lord, I almost forgot about that. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's the Word of God that calibrates us to Him, to His will and to His purpose. And in right standing with Him, it's by the Word that we become aware of even the motivations, the intents of our hearts. Hallelujah, and say, oh God, forgive me for making this about me and not about you. God's presence brings an awareness of our need to return to Him. Isaiah 6, verse 5, when Isaiah saw the Lord, he said, woe is me, for I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. You see, Isaiah didn't have any realization of that, of his condition, until the light was turned on, until he saw the Lord. And all of a sudden now he's convicted. He's like that cockroach, amen? When the light came on, he's like, oh my word, I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King. Ooh, the Lord of glory, the Lord of hosts. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be full of the Holy Spirit. I want to be full of the light of Christ. I want to abide in the purpose for which God has called me and created me. Amen. In the first place. And I don't ever want to live my life, you know, independent of Him. And I never want to love my life more than the purpose for which God gave it to me in the first place. You can't love your life more than your purpose. How many know that God's supposed to be first? Not just a last-ditch effort. Or I haven't got anywhere else to go. I guess I'll turn to God. Well, that's understandable if you don't know the Lord, if you're a lost sinner. Amen? But when you're in a covenant, when you're in a marriage, when you're in a relationship, amen, you need to be cultivating that relationship. You need to be working on that relationship. You don't want to start accusing each other. You want to start saying, okay, I'm going to take responsibility for my own walk, for my own life, and how I treat my mate. Amen? So I need to say the same thing. I know God is always good. God is always stable. God is always steady. God is always faithful. Amen? God is always true to His Word. He doesn't change like we do. But what we want to do is conform into His image. We want to conform to be like Him. Amen? So my responsibility is to respond back to the Lord and love God back by submitting myself to Him. You see, that's why the Bible says, wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Just like the church. Amen. You know what? I think that speaks character right there. That's why I love her so much. But you know, because of that, and if a husband is doing also his part, loving his wife, you know, then the wife is going to be more willing. Amen? How many know that God is always loving us? God is always lavishing grace upon us. So we should be willingly submitting ourselves to Him. Amen? As to, and metaphorically, our divine husband. Amen? Our bridegroom. And another thing, repentance, of course, will produce holiness. Holy life. Be holy, amen, as I am holy, says the Lord. So, what is holiness? Well, holiness is the Lord in us. See, this is where we get into trouble. Sometimes, again, we try to do things to somehow earn or achieve holiness. It's always been about the connection in the Spirit, with the Lord, the relationship with the Lord, walking with the Lord, abiding in the Lord, amen? And as we abide in Him who is holy, then our lives will express what? Holiness. We will live clean. We will live holy. Because when you're in communion with someone, when you're walking closely with your husband or your wife, for example, or a friend, you know. When you grieve that person, you know if something's not quite right. Are you hearing me? So it's a love relationship that Jesus wants with us. So it leads holiness because our holiness is in Him. We need to remember that otherwise we try to work for God. We're not to work for God. We're to walk with God. And when He works, we work. Jesus said, when the Father works, I work also. Are you hearing me? Serving the Lord is working together with the Lord in the moment with Him. And not saying, okay, I'm going to work now. I got my lunchbox. I'm going to, you know, punch the clock in. It's Sunday morning, 10:30. But it's walking with Jesus. And doing the work together. How did Jesus do it? Well, He said, I do what I see my Father do. How many remember that commercial years ago? As like Father, like Son. Like Father, like Son. Well, there's a message in that, isn't there? We want to be like our Father. We want to grow up and be just like our Dad, our Heavenly Father. Amen? So, we need to cooperate with the Father. How many here have realized already that you cannot continue to live in sin and live holy at the same time? You have to choose who you're going to serve, what master you're going to bow to every day. And how many have discovered that it's always better to walk with the Lord? It's always better to listen to Him. And you know what? He's not a hard taskmaster. He didn't come to take away your fun. The devil lies to people and say, oh, there's going to be a party in hell. You're missing out. He's not here to take away your fun. Amen. He came to give you life. A full, overflowing, abundant, superior quality, superior quantity life. And that life is in Him. In Him we have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We are complete in Him. It's not in anything that we do, it's in Him where we have life. Amen? And when we abide in Him who is life, it will produce holiness of life. It will produce good fruit. It will produce, amen, good works. Hallelujah. Because we are working with Him. We are walking with Him who is our life. God wants His people to be revived, to return to Him, to return, like He told Ephesus, and do the first works. What were the first works? They were in love with Jesus. Their world revolved around Jesus. Everything was about the Lord. Oh, the church is open. Praise God. I'm heading over there now. Oh, God, we're having a Bible study over here. Oh, praise God. I get to pray. Oh, praise the Lord. It's time to study my Bible. Oh, praise God. Here's somebody I can tell about Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Get back to where you once belonged. Get back to that place. There's a song. I'll finish with this. By Zion Choir. And it's called Old Landmark. And it talks about returning to that old landmark, that place, that reference point where you were so in love with Jesus. Your life revolved around the Lord. You didn't want to talk about anything else. Man, I've been to some situations. I've gone to men, not here, but men's breakfasts. All I want to talk about is the sports game. You get into some other context, you get in there, they just want to talk about Jesus. They want to talk about life. When we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about life. But when we're in life, when we're abiding in life, guess what's going to come out of our mouth? Life. We're going to be talking the Word, amen? We're going to be sharing the life of Jesus together. Hallelujah. How is it? You can be 3 o'clock in the morning. Hallelujah. I remember Chuck back in the day. I'd be asleep and I'd get this phone call 3 o'clock in the morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you what? Who does that? Yeah. I can tell you, Chuck, I know Chuck too. And I know when he's where he needs to be and when he's not, because I just know him that well. He would just call and he had a new revelation, something else. God showed him something exciting happened and he was just always talking. And you hear Chuck, every other word was praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And man, that is awesome. And I think our lives need to be, we sometimes recalibrated back to that landmark, that place where we once walked, where we once were. Amen. Go back. Amen. And do the first works, he said. Reconnect with me again. And where did you get off track here? You were started out in the right direction, but somehow you got off track. And well, it's time to reconnect. Let's rediscover what we had, where we were at, and let's get back on track with the will and the plan and the purpose of God for your life. Hallelujah. And I pray, God, that you will revive us all, this church. You bring us back to life, to health, to vitality. Lord God, I know we have a good fellowship and there is life and we thank you for that. Lord, but I know that there's more that you have for us that we haven't even tapped into yet. There is so much more that you want to do, Lord, in our lives and you want to release in our lives. And I pray and even release through us. So God, I pray, make me hungry and thirsty for you. Give us a hunger and a thirst. Father, give us a holy passion for you. Just lift your hands to the Lord this morning and ask God to bring you back to that place and that time. Hallelujah. I know I'm speaking to the choir this morning, so just let God do that work. Say, Lord, I want to be brought back to that place where my life was all about you, where I lived for you. I walked with you. I enjoyed you. I was not interested in lesser things because you are my all in all. Lord, bring me back to that old landmark. Make a new commitment and begin a fresh start. Help me find my direction. Place a burden in my heart. Lord, take me back to that old landmark. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Light a fire in my soul, Lord. Light me up for you. Lift your hand, say, God, give me oil in my lamp again. Cleanse my heart, Lord. Wash me in your blood. Purge my iniquities. Blot out my transgressions. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for you, the living God.